Good morning. The last time that I had the opportunity to speak in chapel, Todd wasn't able to be here because Amy had just given birth to little Jack. And this morning, Ben is not able to be here because as we speak, unless something has happened right now, Lindley is in the process of giving birth to little Ava. So I don't know if I ever have the opportunity to speak in chapel again, but if I do, Mandy Beth, you and Suzanne might watch out a little bit there. I don't know if that means anything. But how many of you guys have ever, in the past several years, watched or seen any of those reality TV shows? Okay, good. I was scared that some of you guys weren't going to raise your hand because you were thinking you're supposed to be studying or something like that. And I have to confess that I watched when Ryan got on his knee and asked Trista to marry him. And I actually, with union students in my home last year, watched Ruben and Clay sing on American Idol. And I was somewhat curious about The Apprentice because I have a business background and that kind of thing intrigued me. But I've been somewhat concerned about lately just the trend of the reality TV that's bringing on the makeovers, where these people are so unhappy with the way that they look and go to all kinds of extremes to literally make over their entire body from head to toe in extensive surgery. And I'm really not here to debate whether that's right or wrong or anything like that, but the thing that concerns me is that if anybody is miserable and unhappy because of what's going on the inside, there is no amount of surgery, nothing that can change that, no matter what we are on the outside. And we have got to live literally from the inside out. And I want you guys to turn, if you have your Bibles with you, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want to, Suzanne read about 11 verses, but I want us to focus in particular on verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. And it says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Some of your translations may say jars of clay. So that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. Now, when we take this verse apart, and the first thing we want to look at is who's we? We have this treasure. So who are we? If you back referring back to verse 1, we who have received mercy, we who have the ministry of Christ, we who have put our faith in Christ and Christ alone, that's we. And so if you have done that, then you are we. If you have not done that, if you have not received the incredible gift of mercy, if you have not put your faith in Christ and Christ alone, let me just challenge you to listen to the word and listen to him calling out to you. And there are hundreds of people literally on this campus that would stop what they're doing. I would stop what I'm doing right now and sit down and talk to you about that. Because we have this treasure. And I have been literally praying for those of you that don't have this treasure, especially the last 24 hours, that you would have this treasure. So what is the treasure that we're talking about there? The treasure, some biblical scholars say, again, refer back to verse 1, the treasure being the ministry. The treasure being in reference to verse 6, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. The treasure is the gospel. The treasure is the rich and invaluable truth. It is Christ in us. Colossians tells us that Christ in us is the hope of glory. There's another verse in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 that says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? See, when the world thinks of treasure, they think of gold and silver and diamonds and things like that. But you know what? That treasure can be lost. I lost a few years ago my gold wedding band. Treasure can be stolen, the worldly treasure. That treasure can be tarnished. It can be broken. But this treasure that he's talking about that we have can never be stolen, it can never be broken, it can never be lost. What a paradox. Can you think about it? the total difference between the indescribable value of the gospel treasure and the seemingly basically unworthiness of the vessel. It goes on to say, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And I did some research. I wanted to find out what are earthen vessels. And I discovered that this word is literally, it's a very common vessel that was used back in these days. And it's very brittle. And I have some samples of it here. In fact, where's this one? Literally, as I was bringing it over here, fell apart. I didn't even basically do anything but just transport it. It is very fragile, very brittle, just falls apart at nothing. This is us. This is us. And what's amazing about the actual word for the earthen vessels there, you guys, it's after it comes off the potter's wheel, before it is baked, so that when it becomes damaged, when it becomes broken, that it can be easily repaired, easily restored in the hand of the potter. That's us. Brittle, easily broken clay. We are weak. Basically, we're feeble. Our bodies are decaying. They're dying. They're fragile. One of my favorite verses is in this chapter, also down in verse 16, that says, therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man, even though our earthenware vessel, our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. And I claim this verse so many times when I'm praying for people who are, their bodies, their earthenware vessels are literally decaying. As I was going over this yesterday, I have a sweet friend and a girl that I've been discipling the last several years who is very, her body is decaying. She's been battling cancer. And I was reading this and I was praying for her. I just picked up the phone and just to call her, just tell her I was praying for her. Claiming this verse for, and she is laying in a hospital room in Nashville, Tennessee, and she is covered with sores all over her mouth and in her tongue and down her throat. You can barely understand a word she says, and she wanted to know what I was doing. She said, what are you doing? Barely could make that out. So I'm studying. She wanted to know what I was studying for. Said, I'm going to be speaking in chapel tomorrow. And she began to pray for me over the phone, and it was so incredible as the truth of this verse that says, even though our outer man is being decayed, that our inner man is being renewed day by day. The power of the words that came out of that body was incredible to me. And as I watched her over the years claim the truth of the treasure that is in within her. And you guys, we are just earthen vessels. We are just clay pots. And we're all different. When I look out there, there are no two of you that are exactly alike. I don't know if you can see, I brought this table with all different kinds of clay pots. Some are tall, some have lids, some have handles, all different colors, all different shapes. But here's the thing, there is not one of them on here, and there's not one of us that is perfect. We all have blemishes. We are all different. And what happens is we start looking around and we kind of go, well, you know what? I wish my clay pot looked like that one. You know, I wish I could be smarter. I wish I could be more athletic. I wish I could be able to play the piano and sing. I wish I could do all these things. And we start comparing our pots with other pots. And we begin to get discontented with our earthen vessel. And we start to complain. But you know what? Who are we to complain? There's a verse in Romans 9:20 that says, who are you, O man, who answers back to God? The thing molded will not say to the molder, why did you make me like this, will it? But we do. Who are we to complain about what God has done? Something that I feel like we do too often is that we are focusing so much on the clay pot. And what can happen is that you and I can actually begin to worship the vessel instead of worshiping the treasure. I heard not too long ago that worship is bringing God into the center of whatever you're doing. And if you and I are putting us, these vessels, this earthen vessel, in the center, and that's our focus, then that is what we end up worshiping. And we become, instead of vessels of worship, we begin to worship the vessel. We spend so much time on the vessel. We dress it and we exercise it and we work it out and we feed it and we think about what it should do and where it should go and where it should live and what job it should take and what classes it should take. And we focus so much, so intentionally on the vessel. And we focus on getting the approval of other vessels. And I'm wondering if we spend so much energy on being accepted by other vessels than we do to be acceptable to the potter, the one who created us. I struggle with this all the time. It's not about the vessel. It's about the treasure. Are we even aware of the incredible treasure that we have within us? Do we even have a glimpse of that? I don't know. I know that in a crowd this size that there are people out there that are literally destroying these vessels. We are doing things to these bodies that are holding the treasure that you know is destructive. And you know it is harmful, and you know that it is wrong, but you feel so controlled by it. Focus on the treasure, not the vessel. And some of you, I know, have been destroyed by other people. That your vessel has been broken, not maybe so much about what you have been doing it to yourself, but maybe what somebody else has done. Do not believe the lie. Either way, wherever the destruction is coming from, whether it's from yourself that you are doing or have done in the past, or whether somebody else is doing or has done in the past, do not believe the lie that you are not usable. Remember, we are earthenware vessels that the potter can restore, and he is in the business of doing that, but we've got to focus on the treasure instead of the vessel. I went into the art department to see them throwing clay, and that's what they call making these vessels. They throw clay, and they take a lump of clay, and I watched as Tisha just plop that lump of clay on this flat surface and began to spin it. Spin. And I watch this as her hands with the water, constantly in the water, and her hands just making this incredible vessel. Now, as I looked at her, she was covered from head to foot, and everything around her was covered in head to foot with clay. And I was wanting to watch, but I didn't want to get too close because I didn't want to be splattered all over. And the funny thing is, when I got back to my office and I looked down, I looked all over me, I was splattered all over. I thought, you know what? What a beautiful picture. See, when God was seeking me out, I didn't really want to get too close to those that were being, molded by the potter. I wanted to watch, but I didn't want to get too close because I didn't want to get any of it on me. But you do not even understand that as you are allowing God, the potter, to mold you and make you and create you, that other people are getting splattered on. You may never, ever even be aware of it. But you are impacting lives as you are just an earthenware vessel. I didn't have any idea what she was making, but she knew in her mind the creation that she was making. It turned out to be a beautiful pot. We don't have any idea what God is doing. You know, we think, what in the world? I am just so, I can just fall apart. God, what are you doing? He knows what he's doing. We can trust the potter. That verse goes on to say, we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that, and I put the word so in there, so that anytime you see that, so that it's very important to pay, so that what? Here's the reason, so that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. Now, surpassing greatness, it's a hyperbole. I mean, they're really wanting to make some emphasis. He could have just said that the surpassing power may be of God. Or he could have said that the great power would be of God. But he used both of those words together as an emphasis. And here's literally what it means. Something that stretches beyond boundaries and is virtually limitless. You guys, don't let that pass you by. Listen to what this is saying, that the power that we have in the treasure within us stretches beyond boundaries. It is virtually limitless. Do we even have a grasp of this treasure? Do we even have a grasp or a glimpse of the power that is within us? I don't know. Are we focusing too much on the vessel instead of the treasure? See, one reason, this is why he puts the treasure in clay pots. He wants us to see that we are ordinary. We are indistinguished. We are average. So that if we continually be dependent on him and him alone. See, we have nothing except what we have received from him. And everything we receive from him, we receive just in time, just when we need it. So that the good that is done is evidently not from us, but from God. So that we be not in any way steal any of his glory. Pretend to share the glory with him. See, those that know me well know that I really struggle with weaknesses. I struggle with my ability as a wife. I struggle with my ability as a mom. I struggle with my ability as a businesswoman. I struggle with my ability in my ministry. And it wasn't until recently that I realized that those weaknesses that I have are literally and actually a gift from God. See, this verse tells me that. So does 2 Corinthians 12:9 that says, Paul said, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. And I say the same thing. His grace is sufficient. He goes on to say, for power is perfected in weakness. So I'm okay to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. And see, I used to think that I would get to the place where I would have it together. And I go, okay, I can do this now. But I don't think that's ever going to happen. I don't think it is. I think that our weakness is a gift from God to keep us continually dependent on him. We cannot use our usualness as an excuse, you guys, to not serve God. We can't wait until we get it together or till we have some great gift. Our usualness, our brokenness, our clay pots is what God has created us to be. So that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God. The power of Christ. Do we really experience the power? Listen, the power does more, you guys, than just override the weaknesses of Paul. It does more than just override my weakness and your weakness. It literally fades into oblivion compared to the light of the gospel of Christ and the light of his glory. And just think, if we would spend as much time and energy and thought and money on the treasure that we do, the vessel, think of the incredible power that we would have. We would change lives for Christ. We would impact this world for Christ. We would be kingdom builders instead of vessel builders. Some of you, God has given you such a passion for ministry, and you sense God's calling you overseas, and you not only have to battle with the enemy that doesn't want you to keep that, but some of you have family members that struggle with that, of letting you go because they're worried about safety. And we're kind, as a mother, I worry about safety, but you know what? Safety is, we're just clay pots. We are dirt. I'm almost going to be a half a century old. And I think, I'm not old as dirt. I am dirt. You know, and just the perspective that every single second of every single day, we are dirt. We are going to fade into oblivion compared to the light of Christ. It is absolutely no liability to be a clay pot in the kingdom of God. This simile of earthen vessels goes back to Gideon. And Gideon took 300 men to face the Midianite army that was innumerable. It's huge. And he told his men to take with them three things. He said, I want you to take you may remember what's one thing? A torch and a trumpet. And it says a pitcher or an earthenware vessel, same word. And he told him to take that torch and to put it, I'm scared to hold this because it's just going to fall, crumble, but to put that torch inside the earthen vessel. Because they did not want the light, for the Midianites to see the light. And it wasn't until then they told him to break the pot, put the light shone. And it wasn't until the vessel was broken that the light shone. And you see, I think that that's what we need today. We need some broken vessels. We need some people who are willing to do that. We cannot have our own way and God's way too. We have to decide, make up our minds, are we going to follow him or not? See, Paul's focus was not on the perishable container. It was on the priceless contents, the treasure. And that though we are weak, God uses us. He gives us the power to do his work. Knowing that the power is not from us, man, keeps us from having pride. It motivates us to be continually dependent on him, continually running back to him. Remember, when we destroy our vessels, or when somebody else does, not to believe the lie that we are unusable, that we can be reshaped, remolded, restored into something that God can fill. Be moldable, be pliable, be usable. Verse 8 says, we're afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not despairing. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. And the reason why is because of the treasure. So let me just challenge you today. Focus on the treasure and not the vessel. As we pour out the limited commodities that we have of our time and our energy and our money, that God replenishes because he's got that in limitless capacity. Lord, I come before you today as a weak vessel. And Lord, I want to pray for those in here today that do not have the treasure. God, that this day would not continue without them calling out and reaching to you. God, I pray that we would not worship the vessel. That we would not spend so much time and energy and focus and thought and conversation on the vessel. But that we would focus on the treasure and really, really, really grasp the surpassing greatness of the power that we have available to us. Father, I pray for those that through some sort of destruction, their vessels are destroyed. That they would not believe the lie that they are not usable. But that they would come to you, the potter, that they would be restored and made new. And literally, you are the ultimate makeover. Because not only do you make us over, you make us through and through. Lord, we want to live from the inside out. God, make us vessels of worship. In Christ's name, amen.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. His cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when our fears are stilled, when strife is ceased. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. And no guilt in life, fear in the death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he set my feet on solid ground, Jesus, Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he set my feet on solid ground, makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, you're worthy of all the glory.